Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona. I'm producer and host of the show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And for 13 years, you believe that? Can you believe it? Because most of you started with me back in 2008. 13 years, it'll be 13 years. Actually, in May, it'll be 13 years, but I just round it up. I'm a upper rounder, a rounder upper. We have been providing our audience, you guys, with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you. If you are questioning your career, you think I've been smoking something over your racket? Oh, have you been questioning your career reality? Yes, I am. Everyone in January does that. I don't know why. But this is why this show is for you. If you're thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you're just interested in some tips on how to elevate your career status. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, working professionals. And when I say working professionals, I'm not talking prostitutes. You believe that when I said that, I have to actually go into that because I got some texts from people saying, what do you mean you have whores on your show? No. They, in the entertainment industry, when you call someone a working professional, it includes producers, directors, casting directors, agents, talent managers, screenwriters, PR agents, publicists, actors, obviously, comedians, yay, singers, novelists. We have script supervisors on the show. I have stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, and I always throw a little entertainment attorney in once a year, usually around December. And the list goes on and on. I know for everyone that listens to my show every week, you're like, what the hell is wrong with her voice? Her voice, I usually have to turn the volume down to 1 and I can still hear her at max 20. Well, I've got a hoarse throat today. I have been, my husband's way on the other side of the house and I have been asking lots and lots of questions because I'm working on a project where I'm trying to get song clearance for a music video that I produced and directed. And so every 5 minutes, I'm like, Albert! And so I've gotten myself hoarse. So sorry, you're not getting shrill today. It's more, as I was telling Greg earlier, it's more, it's more Demi Moore-ish. Okay, so now if you missed any of our past shows, here are 3 ways that you can listen to them. Number 1, you can get your free mobile app, which is obviously from the App Store or the Google Play Store. Number 2, we have all of our shows on our archive page. So you can just listen directly from the website that you're listening to us right now. Just go and look. Well, if you're listening to us now, hopefully you're on my page, but you could be on the main page. So you would just have to look for the title of our show, which is Question Reality, and then look for my name. And it's under our host tab. So there I am, and you can listen to all of them. And the way I've elevated how I've written the descriptions, but now you can just see the name of the person and it'll have their title. So it'll be Emmy winning director, Grammy winner. So you can just listen to the people that you want to listen to instead of, you know, somebody making a quilt who's Amish. No, actually, we have no one on the show who does that. But you know what I'm saying. Okay. The third way is iTunes, Google Play Store, or Stitcher.com under the podcast section, and you can listen to us then. But we ask you a little tiny favor. We kindly ask you that you please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast, because we want to be with you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Can you imagine listening to my voice for all that time? You would be in an insane asylum. I know it. Don't think I don't know it. Okay, so finally, if you want to be booked on our show, it's January, so there's lots of opportunities. Want to be booked on our show, if you want to refer someone to be a guest or to promote themselves, they can showcase their projects or their products. And they can also help listeners by providing career advice, sage career advice, I would hope, but career advice nonetheless. The way to do that, now you got to listen very carefully. I need you to focus, right? You've got to go to our official website. Our official website, which is, are you ready? QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously LATalkRadio.com. But you have to go. This is the website where we air the show. So again, you need to go to QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. And that is also where you can see our annual guest schedule to see who the upcoming guests are, to maybe make sure you listen to a particular person that's coming on that's in a career that you're interested. And it's just great to go there to take a peek and see who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. So again, lastly, to be submitted on our show, to book our show, just click the contact link. And it's really, 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 really that easy. You just name, email, title, and website. That is all you need. That's it. And you could be in Greg Schwimm's position, the guy, the one and only Greg Schwimm, who's going to be on our show today. Now, if you are listening because you got one of our flyers or you saw it on social media, great, you already know. But a lot of you just tune in automatically and you're like, oh, I wonder who the guest is today. Well, I'm going to tell you. His name is Greg, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I think it's Schwimm, but we might stand corrected later. We'll see. Greg is a, gosh, he is multi-hyphenated. This man is like dot, 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 dot. But let's start out with just 10 of them, right? All right, so he's a corporate comedian. You're like, oh, what's that? When I first heard of it, I said, oh, that sounds like a very cool position. I would love to do that. What does he do? We're going to find out. He's also a travel host. He is a Chicago Tribune columnist. Would I love to be a columnist? Oh gosh, I would rock a Dear Abby type column. I don't know. In my third chapter of my life, you know, we have three chapters in life, I like to say, I think I'm going to become a columnist. But it's not going to be pretty, because I'm going to just tell these women what they need to know about me. All right. He's also an author and a speaker. And I'm sure he's so many other things, but we only have 50 minutes on this show, which now I think is 45. So we're only going to talk about his career of being a corporate comedian, a travel host, and maybe some other things, because he's far too interesting to let some things slip by. You can go to his website, which is Greg Schwimm, and that's spelled Greg, obviously, GregSchwemm.com. And you can find out all the cool things that he's doing, because I'm telling you, he is super funny. You got to check out his YouTube page. Oh my gosh, hysterical. I was laughing so hard. He's very, very funny. But today we're going to focus on this really cool thing that happened to him. I didn't even tell you he's the author of best-selling books, which you can buy on Amazon. But we're going to focus today on his new creation, which is called A Comedian Crashes Your Pad. That's going to be our main focus. It's just this hilarious look at quirky people who open their properties to strangers and live side by side with them. And I watched it on YouTube and I said, wow, son of a bitch, I can supplement my income doing that. Greg locked it down. He's got it. I want to do that. But, you know, I'm going to have to work on that. So very exciting for Greg. In November, just this past November, his show, which is called A Comedian Crashes Your Pad, was acquired for worldwide distribution by Fantastic Films LLC. So we are, without further ado, we're going to get into it and find out how the hell it happened, because that just doesn't happen to people every day. So without further ado and 1 minute to spare, I don't know if my voice is going to hold out. Oh my God, Greg's going to have to take over the show. Thank God he's a corporate comedian, because he's going to have to take over. I am losing it by the second. Without further ado, let's welcome Greg Schwab to the show.
Woo! Priscilla, how are you? And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, you rattled off all of those credits and all the things we're going to talk about. And all I kept thinking was, I really want to promote my Amish quilt making business. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that. And you alluded to it. And then you didn't bring it back up. And I thought that's what we were going to talk about. So,
well, you know,
everybody on my team is fired.
That's right. That is it. Because I can see you quilting a damn Amish sitting down. Yeah. Hey, oh my God, that would be perfect. You got to book a, go to an Amish person's house, and you got to do that on your travel show. Go and
I'm
stay at an Amish
it.
Person's house, because I saw that on the Hallmark Channel where they were renting out, trying to teach people. I don't know what they were doing. I think there might have been some conversion mentality going, but they let a person in and the person learned how to quilt. I'm telling you, that'd be great for your show. I was watching you. You
that
go all
be.
Over the world and you stay in these really cool houses. I'm thinking, you know, you're joking about it, but let's just put that seed to work. Now, let's start with you. We guys wanted to focus on this profession that I saw you do on YouTube, corporate comedian. First of all, as I said, I love the idea of that profession in the entertainment industry. I had never heard of a corporate comedian. So I want to first ask you, were you ever on the stand-up improv comedy circuit, such as working at the Comedy Store, various comedy clubs?
I was. Yeah, that's how I started. I mean, I started like just about every other comedian. I was my background actually was in television journalism. And, but I did stand up from the time I was 16. And, I just decided at one point I liked doing that better than, being, a news person. So I quit my job. I was living in West Palm Beach, Florida at the time. And I quit my job and I, became what they call a club comic, which is the way most comedians start, just driving around to clubs throughout the country. And so I did that for probably, I'd say club income was probably my main source of income for probably the first 5 years or so.
You were a news reporter in Miami.
Okay, in West Palm Beach, Florida.
West Palm Beach. Yeah. So what type of news were you doing? Were you an anchor person? Or?
No, I was one of those guys on the street, and I did very unfunny subjects. I was first of all, you know, if you're based down in Florida, you get the weird of the weird and not real nice topics to report on. But that's what I was doing. And then I was putting my comedy hat on at night and I was working the local clubs. And then, you know, the comedy just kind of took over. I was spending more time and I want to say more effort, but I was enjoying it a lot more. It was almost like, you know, it's time to switch careers when you can't wait to get to the second one, the one that
you know,
that's when you think maybe this should be my first career. And
that's a very good tip, because a lot of people stay at their jobs way too long and they just think that's going to kick in and
that's
they just
got
to learn, you know, but it's not. You're exactly right. If you enjoy your second job, then you need to focus on that. Okay, so you went into becoming a corporate comedian. So let's talk for anyone who says, hey, Greg has a super cool job. I want to do it. Now, don't be don't be stingy with the tips, because I know that's going to add competition if someone.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, you don't want to be a corporate comedian. It's horrible. Yeah.
No, I don't. Tell us, you know, what are some tips for starting that career path?
You know, first of all, you can't, I don't think you can start a career in corporate. You have to start as a regular club stand-up. You have to get that experience before you pivot into a special. You can't start in a specialized form of comedy, I don't think. You have to start in the general form, and then you pick a specialty if that's what you want to do. And so that's kind of what I did. I mean, I was doing clubs, and I kind of fell into it, Priscilla. I mean, I was just doing a lot of material in my nightclub act about technology and mostly technology, because I don't have a corporate background. I have a journalism background. So I couldn't do jokes about working in an office, because I'd never really worked in an office. I worked in a newsroom. But the technology pieces that I was doing about, you know, learning, you know, being working on a computer.
It's technology. I think you got your next joke, but we're talking now. I want to apologize. I don't know what's happening. I can't answer that for you, but this is a perfect example of what Greg would talk about if he goes on the circuit. Maybe he's working, doing a gig for Verizon or Sprint or one of these tech, what are they called? Are they technology companies, or what
would
that
be called? Tech companies. Yes.
Yeah. Tech companies.
Okay. Telecom.
Good. Mm-hmm. So you go up. So they hire you. You go up there, and so I would imagine that you do your due diligence, because you already have the comedy chops down from doing the years of stand up. So I would imagine, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you would just do research on the company, what it's about, what they're for, and then you just, you know, write your jokes, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I use the web. I talk to them, but I primarily use the web to find out about them. And a lot of the material that I get comes directly from their website. It comes from, and when I say directly from their website, I mean, you know, the funny sentences on their website that I find funny, or just the way that they sound. A lot of times companies don't realize when they're creating or writing their website how weird some of the stuff sounds, or how it's put together. And it takes somebody like me to be that outside of the company and just go, okay, kind of explain this to me. And what works about that is they know they can't really get mad at me, because they did it.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like I'm just kind of regurgitating what I already see. So I'm making them laugh at themselves.
And that's great. I mean, that is, when I was listening to you, all those different companies, and I was listening to your jokes, and I thought, ooh, that's funny, but how are they going to feel? And they were laughing their asses off. I'm like, yes. Oh, that one landed. That one landed. That one landed. Because your jokes are, I would say they have more of like a British sardonic humor, I would find. And I love that. That's my favorite type of comedy. And, but not everybody, like my husband, he's like, he doesn't understand any of my humor. He barely cracks it up. He's like one of those Oliver and Hardy. He thinks, what type of comedy is that where they beat each other on the head and kick each other?
Slapstick.
Slapstick. Yeah, I am
not. So he likes that. Guys like that stuff. It's like men love the Three Stooges. Women hate the Three Stooges. Men love the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah, he
loves. But you're right. You know, but Priscilla, you are right about that. The fact that my comedy is not mean spirited. When I do these shows for these companies, I don't know if I'd call it British. It's just more like I'm just sort of pointing out some of the weirdness.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times I think I'm saying what a lot of my audience is thinking, but they can't say it. You know, I sometimes say I get paid to say what you're thinking.
That's
because I think everybody who works at a job, they want to poke fun at themselves. They want to make, they want to go in every morning and go, are we really doing this again? Or, meeting number nine and it's only 10:30 in the morning. This is another, you know, that kind of stuff, but they can't do that. Nor should they. But
yeah.
I can.
Yeah. Let's put a disclaimer out there right now. If you're following his career and you get your first gig, don't do that. That's not good. Right. So, okay. So somebody has been working the comedy circuit. They think, you know what? I want to do what Greg's doing. I think I got enough comedy circuit things. I'm going to go out and get my first corporate comedian job. What would they do? Where do they go? What do they look for? I mean, they don't
Well, I think what you have to do, I think the first thing you have to do is realize you probably cannot do your regular club act at a corporate event. And I think a lot of comedians make that mistake. They just think, oh, it's another audience.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's people. Yeah. I mean, you're right about that, but you know, you could be working at 10:30 in the morning. You could be working at 1 in the afternoon. There's a lot of rules. I think the first thing that people have to do, that comedians who work corporate had better be ready for, is there are rules, and you know, you might not want to adhere to them, but if you're going to make a living in corporate, unfortunately, you're going to have to.
I think
a lot of, just as far as what to say, what's permissible, what's not permissible. And there's a lot of comedians out there. They're just like, well, you know, you're not going to tell me what to say. This is my show. This is my stage. You hired me. I'll just say whatever I want. And, I mean, fine. Go ahead and do that. And that's why I've been doing it for so long. You know, I don't know how many gigs you're going to get.
So right.
I don't really have any advice on how to get corporate gigs, but I can just give advice on what to expect when you do get one.
Well, you know what, Greg? I feel like I was put on your path in life to give you new projects to do. This is why fate, destiny, you need to write a book. How great would it be if somebody wanted, I mean, you got to give it up sometime, Greg. You can't be hogging all the corporate gigs, right? So why don't you write a book and teach people how to get work the way you, and you will be labeled the corporate comedian king. Oh, I think you're already titled that. Your book, Corporate Comedian King. And you can write a book and teach people, because I'm telling you, you have the coolest job. I think it is. And surely there's many, many millions of people out there that would love to do what you do. So my advice is think about that, because you are saying exactly what comedians who are listening to this show are like, well, what are the rules? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? What do I wear? What don't I wear? You know, so, you know, that stuff that I think would be really great to help somebody in the future. So think about that, Mr. Corporate Comedian King. Okay, let's move on to you. Speaking of books, I don't know, that was like a perfect segue, because you've already been the author of two amazing best-selling books. First of all, what are their titles? What are they about? And what was the inspiration for each book? And
right.
Go.
Well, the first one, the first one was called Text Me If You're Breathing, Observations, Frustrations, and Life Lessons from a Low-Tech Dad. And that, you know, that title pretty much explains itself. Was I have two daughters, and when they were probably about 10 and 5, that's when the technology started to enter our world. Well, it had before. I mean, even like a swing set and a baby seat are high tech now. But when my first one got a cell phone, when she was probably 10, I think maybe 11, there was so much that I realized I was going to have to learn before she learned it. And I knew there was a book in there. There wasn't just comedic material and stand-up material. I thought there was a whole book, a chapter about what is Facebook, a chapter about, just lots of things. And actually, you know, both of my children were born. Well, one was born with the help of IVF. And the other one was almost born with the help of IVF. So there was technology involved just to conceive them. So I was kind of already out in front. I'd already written a couple of chapters before the first one was born.
You
know, so that was that was the first one. And I just, it was, that book kind of wrote itself. And then I came out with a second one. And to your point about, you know, there, I don't think there's a lot of tips in my second book, which is called The Road to Success Goes Through the Salad Bar. But it was more about, there was a lot of stuff that, a lot of ideas that I had about that I couldn't really do on stage about the business world just because they took too long. And I thought these are more long form ideas. So I wrote a book about those. And so there's, you'll find a whole chapter about an offsite meeting. You'll find a whole chapter about a job interview and how they've gone from, you know, being, you know, the in-person job interview to the virtual job interview and how people get jobs now, as opposed to, you know, mailing their resume and licking it, putting a stamp on it and waiting for a response as to, and now you upload your resume to multiple job sharing sites and then they send you back jobs that had absolutely nothing to do with what you do for a living. So anybody who wants to just laugh about business, that's what that book's about.
Real quick, before we go into talking about you as a travel host and your show,
yeah.
A lot of people ask me, and I have no idea what the difference is. I'm sure they could just Google it. They ask me, what is the difference between long form and short form comedy? And I tell them to Google it, but I've never Googled it, but I should. But from a professional, you tell us, in a very terse manner, what the hell's the difference between long and short?
I think long form is more storytelling. You know, long stories where you're not really doing one liners, but you're just telling a story that has funny lines sprinkled throughout. What I think is a very good long form comedian is Mike Birbiglia. I think he's very good. He's very good, sort of a storyteller. He's not he's not a one-liner joke guy. And I think that I'm more of a storyteller too. Mm-hmm. But there were just some stories that were taking up so much. I just wanted to expand on them. And the one thing, here's another thing on a side note, Priscilla, you know, the corporate audience, their attention span is not as good as a club audience. So you can't really, you have to kind of jump around topics with a corporate audience. There's a piece of advice, because you're speaking to people who probably have their phones with them, who might be, are still technically at work, even though they're at your show. They're not out for a fun night out necessarily. You know, I hope that they have fun during my show. That is obviously the goal. But, you know, if I'm speaking for a group of financial professionals, there's a good chance that the market is open during the show. So, you know, I have to know that they're going to be checking the stock market probably when I'm speaking. And I've come to an agreement that that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm still going to give them the best show I can, but I might not have their 100% attention.
Well, that's for that really reason, though, Greg, for anybody, especially the younger people. I mean, people, we just as a society, I don't think you would call it evolved, but we now have less of an attention span than we did 20 years ago. And it is because of social media.
Totally. Yeah, it's so true everywhere. I think I have to deal with it more so than a club.
So,
because at a club, they paid their, you know, you go to a comedy club, you know, when they come back, and hopefully they will soon, but you know, you go to a comedy club and you pay a cover charge and you have to have your two drinks and so forth. So why would you want to spend that time scrolling through your phone? Unless the comic is so bad.
Yeah. But yet they still do it. They still do
it.
I
mean,
you know how they are.
There's nothing you can do about
that. It's crazy. Right. Okay. So, real quick, you shared, I just have to know about this because I'm a lover of all of these people. Apparently, mm-hmm. you shared the concert stage with performers like Celine Dion, lover, Keith Urban, Sexy to the Max, Styx, Babe, I'm Leaving, Enrique Iglesias, woohoo, Huey Lewis in Alabama. I had to do it down because I'm not really, you know, into them. But let's talk about at least let's pick Celine Dion, Keith Urban, Styx, or Enrique Iglesias. How about, how did you end up?
I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick Styx. Okay.
Oh, yeah!
I'm going to pick them.
All right.
Because here's why. Because I grew up with those guys, with posters of those guys on my wall, you know,
I love them so much. Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was just so cool. Cause a lot of those guys, a lot of those bands now that from the 1980s and so forth, they're on the corporate circuit too. They get hired to play a 75 minute set and they're making great money doing it. And they're still out there doing what they do. And they get treated like rock stars that the rock stars that they used to be. No offense, but when they were playing, but you know, and their audience, you know, their audience is aging now and it is more corporate. So, I did a show with Styx, and I mean, it was just so fun to just hang out with these guys in the green room and try not to be drooling and try not to tell them what a huge fan I was of theirs when I was in high school, you know.
Wow.
And I ended up having it turns out that the lead guitarist of Styx, James Young, JY, lives about 20 minutes from my house.
Now? So, in this day?
Yeah, now.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he lives in the Chicago. I live in the Chicago suburbs. He lives in another one, literally about 20 minutes north of me. And that was just fun to talk about.
So you open for them, or they open, or you guys were doing?
I opened for them. I opened for them. They were headlining a corporate date, and I did some stand up off the top. This was a black tie. This was a black tie event. So I was out there in my tux doing stand up before Styx came on.
That is so cool, right? Did you ever?
I got down
see
on the dance
floor. You never saw that coming in your life.
No, I did not.
As a young fanboy of Styx.
That's right.
Never, right? Oh, my God. That's great. Wow. All right. Let's move on. We could just do like 25, 30 hours nonstop with you, but I got to get on to what I find absolutely super, super fascinating, and I love that you did this. Now, I guess first I need to ask, let's talk about travel host, your position. Okay. Mm-hmm. So were you a travel host for a previous show? Or did you just create your own travel show, which is A Comedian Crashes Your Pad?
I created that. And the way it came about was I just became very intrigued with the home share community, the idea of home sharing, Airbnb and Vrbo and all those home. And the idea that people were now renting their properties to strangers. I mean, it's one thing for like a company like Uber, where you drive around in your own car and pick up strangers. I mean, I found that to be intriguing too. But then when these home sharing sites sprung up, and I thought, now, you know, at least in an Uber, you let them out, you know, you let them out after a few minutes. But, you know, if in a home share, you don't let them out.
No.
Let a whole night go by.
Wait a minute. They may not let your ass out one day.
That's another show.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I just thought I thought it had to be a real interesting person to let somebody into their house. It's not, I mean, I couldn't do it. I can stay in anybody's house, but I could not let people into mine. And that's nothing against me. It's just not for everybody, you know? I'd have to ask a lot of questions first.
Yeah.
And of course, if you home share, there are no questions. You just basically, if you have a credit card, okay. For the most part. So I just thought I was, you know, I'm on the road a lot, and when my kids got a little older, I had a little more time. I didn't feel like I had to be home as fast. So I thought, I'll stay in some of these home share properties and check this whole industry out. And I will bring my iPhone with me and I will record kind of my interactions. And that's how it started. And I just realized there were a lot of really cool people out there with stories to tell. And that harkens back to my harkens. Is there anybody on show the word harkens?
A period in the 80s.
That harkens back to my journalism days of just questioning people and finding out about people. That's what I did as a journalist. That's what I love to do as a journalist. That was my favorite part. And so I thought there might be something here. There might be an actual series here. If I could just continue to go around and meet interesting people in different states and so forth. And little by little, the show grew and the episodes became a little bit longer. And I hired a crew and And then, yeah, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, it got picked up this November. In the middle of COVID, I was able to get a travel show picked up by a distribution and marketing company, and we're off to the races now.
Crazy, crazy. So, all right, so we went over what happened, but this seems like it would be an interesting, give me the word, interesting. God darn it, I can't think. A very detailed.
Intriguing?
No. Interesting. Ow, forget it.
Intrinsic?
I can't remember. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
All right, that's 4 years of journalism school.
Honey, I got the wild turkey goat flowing over here. So there you go. You got to give me, you're going to insert vocabulary words until the end of the show. All right. So that seems like it's a very detail-oriented process. And I'm sure mm-hmm. that you going around, you know, filming this with your phone, you had to do more than that. You had to pitch it. You had to do what's needed just as if you were trying to get a film sold. So just briefly tell us, you said, hey, I got a show here. What did you do? What were your steps?
Right. Well, basically what I did is I hooked up with a publicist in Chicago named Beatrice Davis. I'm going to shout out to her because I'm sure she's listening. And we just basically started approaching, you know, some of these companies and just saying there's nothing else like this out there. And there isn't. It sounds like there should be 100 of these shows, but
because
there isn't.
Movies. Do you not remember Jude Law doing a movie, a Christmas movie, where they swapped houses?
There have been at least three films. There's lots of people that sort of film their own home share experience or so forth, but there's nobody. I thought the melding of comedy with home sharing was what would set this apart. And that's kind of how we pitched this, was that it wasn't just a normal person. It was a comedian because, you know, we're all abnormal going in. So there was that element of humor in there. And and I think that's also what why people do open their homes. I think people are intrigued with the idea. I mean, the best part about my job is that it's really a conversation starter. You tell people you're a comedian and that immediately starts a conversation because people are intrigued with comedians. Right. Most people don't know one. So when they meet a live one, they have lots of questions. So the idea of inviting one into your house, I think people were mostly sold on that idea just because I was not your run-of-the-mill guest.
Do they ask you? I mean, these people who share their homes, first of all, do most of them live on the property and you go into like a little room, or do they completely vacate the property, which really wouldn't make much of a comedy show because you wouldn't have anybody to talk to.
I want them at least living nearby. I mean, I've had my own guest house and so forth sometimes, but I want to find out about why you got into this, and I can't do that if you're just going to drop in and say, okay, are we ready to film? Because I think that's very fake. And that's not what I'm going for.
Right. Here. That would be more like an Airbnb. You just rent the place and you live there. But so these people, there are people all over the world, because I did see on your YouTube video that you were in London and all these locations. But that would be the one that I'm interested in because, you know, I'm obsessed with all things British, as you know, and I lived in England for 6 months. So I would like to know what the difference is, if there is one, between you staying at homes here with filming comedic instances as opposed to when you went to London, because again, their sense of humor is a little bit different. So are there differences?
Yeah, but I think, no, I don't think we're still staying in their place.
Okay,
and
so
it doesn't really matter.
You didn't get a different European feel to when you were staying in London?
No, not really. I mean, in London I did because I was staying in this little canal vessel. I mean, but if I'd stayed there's this tiny skinny boat on one of London's canals. But if that vessel had been parked on Lake Michigan, I don't think it would have been that much different, because really what made that show was the accommodations. I mean, sometimes it's the accommodations that make the show. Sometimes it's the host. I want an ideal show, it's both. I mean, like I, right here in Chicago, I I stayed with this woman who she has basically, it was like a three-story structure that was modeled after the Palace of Versailles. I mean, that's what it looked like inside. And that was weird enough, but she was very eccentric and just really fun on camera. She was a widow and her husband basically had built this whole thing and then died. And then and I don't think this was her cup of tea, you know, but yet she was stuck with all this stuff. Oh. And I just found that to be hysterical. And the more, and I really didn't know that about her until I started walking around with her. But that was the perfect storm of an episode, I thought, was a really cool pad and a really cool host. And that's what I'm looking for more than anything.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe where I was going with that was I was just wondering, so for example, in London, with you staying at people's houses in different countries, like if you went to Germany, you'd be staying in a house where, say, they do cook a lot of sauerkraut and sauerbraten, so there's always like a good outlet for a joke when you get served breakfast by them.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
absolutely.
So there's so many things that you can incorporate, I would think, staying in a foreign country, food related as well as many other things.
In Colorado, I stayed with a goat farming couple and I was drinking goat's milk, right? Not from the goat, although they let me milk the goat. They did let me milk the goat. And then I drank, you know, they bottle it and they have it in a refrigerator. And then we actually shot, you know, a little segment where they served me goat's milk, which I'd never had before. And that was really cool.
And what are some other things that happen that stand out as like, wow, you wait till you watch my show. You're going to see this. What do we have to look forward to when it goes on? I guess it's not. Where is it going to actually air?
Well, you can watch episodes now because we're on. You mentioned about downloading your app. We're on Roku. All you have to do is if you have a Roku box, all you have to do is look for the Fantastic Entertainment channel. That's what you would search, Fantastic Entertainment. You can find episodes there. You can download the Fantastic Entertainment app in the Apple Store or Google Play, and you can find episodes there. I stayed Fantastic Entertainment. That's what it is. Okay.
The app. So if we go to the App Store, so people listen, I want you to go to the App Store now and you look for Fantastic Entertainment, and that will be the app that you download, and that's where you can watch Greg's
show. And then you search within the app for A Comedian Crashes Your Pad.
And then you can watch the episodes. Okay, then you search for A Comedian Crashes Your Pad. Okay, and go tell us, at least because we've got a couple minutes, tell us some of the funniest stories of what we can look forward to when we watch your show.
Well, one of my favorites was, it started out funny because my host said she would pick me up at the airport. So I'm waiting there with my bags and this woman comes up and she introduces herself. And at this point, I'm just filming. I didn't have my crew with me, so I was just filming this on a selfie stick with my iPhone. And she introduces herself, and I'm thinking it's my host, and it was somebody who was there for another person. So we're having this conversation before we both realized I was the wrong person that she was looking for. So that was kind of an interesting start to the episode, which I really hadn't planned. And then there was I've stayed in two tree houses. Tree houses are very big now. They're very, very popular. And including one where I was interviewing the guy who built it. This was out in Arizona, in Prescott, Arizona. And I said, "How'd you build it?" And he goes, "I just read some books online." And I'm looking at it. I think it's 30 feet up in the air. And I with a ladder. All I could think was, I'm going to be staying in a tree built in a house built by a guy who said, "I learned about this online." No engineering background or anything like that. No. Is there a load bearing branch or something?
There's some glue involved, Mr. Schwab.
Yes, exactly.
If it gets on you, we got some stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
That sounds really fun. Oh my gosh. So are you also a, I know you're the travel host and you incorporate your own comedy. So this is all the reaction. This is sort of like Curb Your Enthusiasm style. The people don't have scripts. It's a non-scripted show.
It is a non-scripted show. Yeah. And what we're doing, you know, and I basically, when I, my only rule I say when I shoot an episode with somebody is I say, you have to agree to two things. You have to agree to a sit down interview where I ask you about why you got into home sharing and things like that. And then you have to agree to a tour of your property where we just let the cameras roll. You show me your place and I talk and we joke and we don't stop. And those are the bare minimum. And then I go, and then anything else you want to do with me, let's do it. Let's go shopping. Let's go drinking. Let's do what you like to do. Show me your town. And some episodes are carved out of that. And then this year I'm going to expand a little bit. I'm going to, almost all the episodes I'm going to do are going to coincide with me performing stand-up in that particular town. So we're going to go, I've got gigs in Kenosha, Wisconsin in February and Savannah, Georgia in March. So we're going to go to both of those towns and do episodes. The Kenosha episode, I'm actually going to talk a little bit about how they're recovering. Also, it's going to be a little more of a serious episode because we're going to talk about how they're recovering from all the unrest that happened back in the late summer.
Oh, good. That's going to be very important to add a different element. Yeah. Do you know what, Greg, while you were telling me, I swear, you know what popped into my mind? Oh, okay. My gosh. I have a friend named Holgi Forrester, and she lives in a house that's a dome. I just thought about it. It's a dome. It's like it's a whole shape of a dome. And I was thinking, what? Oh my gosh. I think Greg would love to go to her house. And you, because you were describing what you like. And I thought, oh my gosh, he would lose his mind if he went to this house. It is a dome. It is huge. I think it's on 63 acres, right? And this woman is a trip. Oh my God. We will talk privately. She is so funny.
Yes, we will.
She is a natural. This woman is, oh, Greg, if you're interested, let me send you her name and number because you got to go. This dome is wild. It's like you're on another planet. And let me tell you, you're going to get a good show out of this woman and because she's like a young Goldie Hawn. Just like a young Goldie Hawn. And this is her personality. So if you ever saw any of those movies from that Goldie Hawn did in the 70s, that's her personality. You will flip out. Oh, God. Okay. So, PM me on that. All right. So let's go back. We are going to end. It's come to the end of the show. I feel like we should do an NSYNC song. So I just want to have everybody please go to Greg's website. It's gregschwam.com, GREGCSCHWM, crashesyourpad.com. A comedian crashes your pad.com. He's on Facebook under his name, Greg Schwim. Mm-hmm. Instagram, YouTube. Just type Greg Schwim. He's swimming all over the place. Oh, that's so tacky and so bad. I know, but I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist a swimming joke. Okay. But you are fantastic, Greg. I hope you grace us again, maybe next year and give us a follow-up on what's going on with the show. Because we certainly, I'm telling you, I'm already a watcher because I'm a huge reality television watcher. I love Travel Channel. So and please go to YouTube and look at Greg's videos. Obviously, you've seen him, you've heard him, and he's hysterically funny. Well, you got to see the clips of this show. Oh, he's laying on a couch, posed like a Renaissance woman, and the woman comes in and says, "What are you doing?" I can't remember what she said to you, but you were like, better get off her couch.
She said, "Don't do that."
She said, "Don't do that." I'm like, oh, snap. He's going to get kicked out of that house. So, but yeah, lots of fun. You're a fun guy. You're obviously genuine. Authentic, you're the real deal. You're I look forward to seeing big, huge things from you. really. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That doesn't sound too good. A woman saying that to a man. But, you know, I do dirty comedy. That's where we're going to park down the fork in the road. You do the clean. I do the drunken sailor dirty comedy. We got to.
There you go.
But thank you so much again for coming on the show. You've been a joy. Please, everybody, say goodbye to your fans.
Oh, bye, fans. I'm so glad that you hung out for this. This was a lot of fun. All right, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for Question Reality Radio Show. We'll see you. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.